Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus Christ.
I don't know if this is so much a good thing in the afternoon that I can't see you, but I know you're out there. A few years back, I was in an automobile accident, and I was entering the westbound traffic on I-69 coming off from the southbound I-475 in downtown Flint. If you know this exit, then you know that the exit goes up a hill and turns into a ramp for westbound I-69 on the downturn. And it had just recently rained, and there were flash floods all about, and at the bottom of the ramp was a puddle, two mangled vehicles, and a tow truck. Before I could realize what was before me, I had no distance in front of me to try and slow down. I hit that puddle and hydroplaned into the rear of one of the mangled vehicles, giving it a push up the tow truck. And I proceeded to spin around and land on the side of the road as if I parked there. I praise God for coming out of that without a scratch. A total vehicle, but without a scratch. And my insurance helped me to recover some of the loss I incurred from that accident. In 1998, I ruptured two discs in my back at work. Unable to walk, I was off from work for almost a year. Workers' compensation helped offset my lack of income during that time and helping me to be able to keep my house and my car and my health. And I thank God for not letting me lose everything because of an injury. Just recently, I visited the dentist for my semi-annual cleaning. You know, the place where you prepare to go by brushing, picking, and cleaning your teeth so that they can do the same when you get there. One time, just one time, I would like to go to the dentist after eating popcorn, Cheetos, and chocolate so that they would have something to do. But insurance is a good thing. It helps us to protect our health, our property, and our income. Not only does it help in protecting our health and property and income, it also helps to protect us when we fail to live up to a certain standard. I guess we can say that by using insurance, we are preparing for the future. If we can figure out how to prepare for the nuances here in the material world, where everything will disintegrate, why is it hard for us to prepare for the eternal, the spiritual world? Last Saturday, I had the privilege to baptize my great-nephew, my goddaughter's third child. It is always a pleasure to be a witness to the newest member of the body of Christ. I witnessed Joel coming out of the world and into the body of Christ. I witnessed Joel coming out of the world where the world will teach him of music, so he can enter into American Idol. I witnessed Joel coming out of the world where the world will teach him of how to dance, so he can enter into Dancing with the Stars. I witnessed Joel coming out of the world where the world will teach him how to play sports, so he can enter the Hall of Fame. I witnessed Joel coming out of the world where the world will teach him of science, so he can enter into the infinity of space. I witnessed Joel coming out of the world and enter into the body of Christ. So why can't the world teach him of Jesus Christ so that he can enter into the priesthood, because the world does not know him. So who is going to teach this newest member of the body of Christ about Christ, the Son of the living God? Who is going to teach him of the Father who sent his only Son, that whoever would believe in him may have eternal life? Who is going to teach him of the Holy Spirit, the unconditional love between the Father and the Son, for whom this temple of God was made? Who is going to teach him of Christ's church, the sacrament of salvation, through which he will be guided to know God, to love God, and to serve God in this world, so that he can be happy with him in the next? Who is going to teach him to reject Satan and all his lies and all his empty promises, so that he can defend this temple of God? We are. That is the reason why we gather here today, not only as the body of Christ, but to share in the body of Christ and to allow Christ to live in this temple of God, to renew our own baptismal promises, to pledge our help and our support to defend this temple of God. Baruch opens up with the statement, "Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery. Put on the splendor of glory from God forever." Is that not our baptism, putting on the splendor of glory from God forever? Paul prays that our love may increase ever more and more in knowledge and every kind of perception, to discern what is of value, so that we may be pure and blameless before the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. This shows itself through the practice of virtues. Virtues, we can say, is our insurance to protect us from that which is out to destroy us. Being virtuous prepares the way of the Lord. What is a virtue? According to our Sunday's Visitor Catholic Encyclopedia, a virtue is a habit or power which enables one to perform an action with facility and competence. Virtues are either developed by practice, such as the virtues of prudence, temperance, justice, or fortitude, or are infused by God, such as the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. The virtues are the fullest expression of the person, for they manifest the precise powers and capabilities of the individual. It goes on to say that the development of the virtues also brings about a reordering of our nature that places us more fully in the service of reason, the love of God, and the love of neighbor. Prepare the way of the Lord begs the question that Father Roy would always pose: will doing this get me to heaven? This is a question we should be asking ourselves constantly. Will doing this get me to heaven? Taking a look at the sign of the times can tell us that we are far from developing virtues. More and more, we are beginning to see vices are the order of the day. By not developing the virtues brings about our separation from God, and it gets more difficult for us to focus on what is good, right, and just, all of which we need to prepare the way of the Lord. Are we embracing virtues or are we embracing vices? When it comes to race, are we embracing virtue or vice? When it comes to sex, are we embracing virtue or vice? When it comes to class, are we embracing virtue or vice? When it comes to gender, are we embracing virtue or vice? When it comes to anything, we should take notice of what we are embracing. Vices tend to the satisfaction of the desires of the flesh. Virtues tend to the inherent satisfaction of the desires of the soul. Virtues put the desires of the flesh in proper order, ordering them to the glory of God. For example, procreation can be enjoyable and satisfying to the flesh when it is ordered to the glory of God through the sacrament of marriage. Without God, it is a vice that is embraced. Another example, class could be enjoyable and satisfying to the flesh when it is ordered to the glory of God through the theological virtue of charity. Without God, it is a vice that is embraced. Again, race can be enjoyable and satisfying to the flesh when it is ordered to the glory of God in the inclusion of all of God's children. Without God, it is a vice that is embraced. By developing the virtues through the practicing of them, we are able to admonish the sinner, beginning with the plank in our own eye first, so that the speck in our brother's eye may come out. Admonishing the sinner is what we do for those who love the Lord, so that none of whom he created will be lost. Not that we are the Savior, but that we participate in his grace. As Paul says, work out our own salvation. We have the insurance to do just that through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The virtues are the fullest expression of the person, for they manifest the precise powers and capabilities of the individual. When practiced in this world, the fruit of it is ours in the next. So let us go forth and live out our baptismal vows as a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough roads made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God.